Good morning and welcome to Neocone View. I'm Peter Newman, and for this morning's program, we are going to, well, literally be looking straight down from Neocone to the unincorporated area called Neocone and talk with longtime resident Carol Povey. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
The reason I've asked to talk to you is, as I've talked to people around the North County area, and I always ask for a suggestion, you know, who do you think we should interview for this program? And you are the odds-on ballot winner of people, oh, we must talk to Carol. So you're going to have to justify your existence for us with that. And by the way, I happen to agree. It was one of my first ideas when we did this program was to interview you, primarily because you have seen so many changes in this community. You've been here quite a long time. How long, full and part-time?
61 years. I can't believe it myself.
And you started off as a part-time resident?
Yeah.
So where were you the other part of the time?
In Portland. And down here on weekends as often as possible.
And then the pool got too great?
Yeah. It used to be our escape from the city. You know, we'd drive down on Friday night, and as you went through the first tunnel, we left all our bad things and problems in that tunnel and then came down here. It was quite wonderful. We didn't have a telephone. We had a radio. I'm not sure they'd invented television then, but it was a completely different world.
Well, I want to talk about that world because the area, in some respects, I suspect it has changed a great deal. In others, maybe not as much. What are the big changes?
A long time ago, I would say shortly after the war, we used to go to the beach, and we could go maybe as far as Tullabana or a little bit beyond, and then the highway ended. So nobody knew much about Neocone. And it was just by pure luck that I happened to find it, although I'd heard about it. In fact, I belonged to a literary club at Washington High School called Neocone. It never occurred to me to wonder why it was named that. It was just the name. I had heard of Neocone because my older sister, who also went to Washington High School, had spent some time in the summer down here at someone's home, but that's all I could remember. And we decided we wanted to find a beach house because we loved coming to the coast. And my father had left each of his daughters a small amount of money, and we decided we'd find a small amount of house. And I looked in the paper and saw an ad that said Neocone. I kept saying, oh, that'd be interesting. And they now had a highway that came all the way down here. What was amazing to me was that as we turned off on Nehalem Road, yeah, it came down. It was a little, sort of like a farm district, big meadows and not many houses, and just a few people who would come for the summer and stay mostly all summer and rent each other's houses according to whoever was here. And there also was a tavern. It was called the Tavern. It was a very large beach hotel, which was quite wonderful. What I didn't realize was that nobody knew about Neocone, and that's why it was so wonderful. You could come down here and there was just a handful of people. You got your mail at the lodge, and when they later sold the lodge, you got your mail at Mrs. Reed's, that's Beulah Reed's post office box, down at the end of the path. And she would put it out there, and you went every morning to see if you had any mail. There was no road to Manzanita along the beach. The only way you could get there was go back up to the highway and drive down to Manzanita. Or you could walk. You could walk along the ocean. Or if it was stormy, you could climb up over the sand dunes and go to the store, because almost no one had a car. And that was a simple life.
I think for a lot of people, even today, if they're aware of Neocone beside the mountain, I think they just see the sign off of 101, and that's probably the only reference to a community that exists here.
Well, when I finally was lucky enough to move down here full time, I was interviewed by the Astoria paper. The editor and publisher is a friend of mine, and I remember saying, oh, I thought it was wonderful that so many people came to the beach and it was not a threat to me at all. That may have been 20 years ago. And every once in a while I run over across this article and I said, did I really say this? Because although I think it's still true, people should be allowed to come here. I go into men's and you know, say, where did all these people come from?
Are you party to or... Can you adequately explain the divide between Manzanita and Neakani? Because for those of us to the north part of Tillamook County, it's a obscure distinction that doesn't seem to make a difference to us newcomers.
I think we rather like not having government here, except for the water district.
It is an unincorporated area.
And people in Manzanita say, oh, you're so snooty there. And so I wrote a little ditty once that I think I did for a Neakani picnic. The people south, let's see how I got. The people south, you say we're snooty. Of course we are. It's our duty. But, you know, you have to go there and shop, and the people are quite nice. Most of them are my friends. But, you know, it's sort of nice. And some days I keep saying, well, maybe we should just fill in that road along the ocean to Manzanita. Because when the weather is really nice, we could have sunshine here and it could be cloudy in Manzanita. Then everybody comes to our beach. And there's quite a traffic problem down near the ocean.
One of the things that is so striking about you is how many fingers you have in this community, how many things you do and how many things you are responsible for. And most recently, I think, is that marvelous pathway that now makes the beach at Manzanita more accessible.
I sort of like that path. Well, I got involved because I'd had a very busy life in Portland, and when I came down here, I didn't know what to do except keep being busy. And I think almost anybody who retires down here wants to keep the brain working. And I find if I don't use mine, it's not going to work very long. So there have been a lot of things that needed to be done, and I happen to have been fortunate in my profession in knowing how to, well, it was the advertising business, which is in high regard now, but it was very nice then, how to match people, what they want, their wants with what I had to sell them. And it's the same thing with projects. We started way back when raising money for the Manzanita Library, which was a lot of hard work and a lot of fun. But there's something really wonderful about finding money for a project in a small town. In Portland, I used to work a lot for the Art Museum and the Symphony, raising money, and the YWCA. And that was wonderful, but it took years to do it. Down here, you can see the results almost immediately. And the path was something that was near and dear to my heart, in that I felt that people have been talking about for years and I was getting impatient. I said, well, if you'll promise me that you'll make it, I can make it look natural, I'll raise the money for you. And so a lot of people who didn't like it, I see, are now sitting on the benches there and using it.
And it provides access to the beach, especially for people who otherwise might
and
not be able to.
And I sort of love our free wheelchairs, which are big, fat-tired wheelchairs that are available free of charge for anyone who needs them. We have two adult ones and one child one, and they're all endowed by people in the community.
Where do people
you have
check
to go
in for
to,
that?
It's Manzanita Bike and Boards, and they're in charge of them. And I think they keep them busy.
What you said about being able to accomplish more in a small community versus a large one really, for me, touches a nerve. Do you think that that's generally true, or is there something about the north coast of Oregon that makes people a little connected in a different way? Or is this a common human nature?
I'm not sure. I think it might be generally true in other small areas. You do have to do a lot of selling and get people excited about the project. but there is an enthusiasm. And I think there's a lot of talent out there that needs to be tapped into. The thing that I find is successful is not to scare them to death, but what a big job it is to say, could you just do a little bit? And then once they get involved, you know, they do a lot.
Our guest this morning on the Econi View is Carol Povey, longtime resident of north part of Tillamook County, that area called Neoconi, which is unincorporated but adjacent to Manzanita. Carol, I hope I'm not putting you on the spot, but if you Google your name for reasons which were not really clear to me until I asked you about it prior to our talk, your name appears followed by the actor Harvey Keitel. And I thought, well, that has to be another Carol Povey. It's just a Google typo, but it isn't.
It's Harvey and I had the little movie career together.
Tell us about the little movie career.
I mean, it was so unexpected. I have had a sister who lived in Hawaii, and every once in a while I'd take time off and go over and see her, which meant that my house is available to all my friends and children. And I came back from a trip, and my daughter said, Mother, there's somebody trying to get a hold of you. They want to look at your house. And I said, what for? And they said, well, they want it to be in a movie. Well, I think my house might have an agent I don't know about, because it's been in two commercials, and which have been interesting, but this one was different. So I said, okay, and she gave me the phone number, and I called them, and I said, well, I'm going down tomorrow. And they said, well, can we come the day after, which is like a Tuesday, who knows? You know, when you've been away from your house for a time, the furniture moves around, it looks very strange. And so I came home and messed it up a little bit. And the next day comes a troop of people. I remember there were like six men and one woman. And they all came trooping in and introduced themselves, and they wanted to borrow the house for a movie. And I said, oh, well, okay, what do you want? And they wanted an old house, which I had, which was near the ocean. I said, okay, I have to kind of look out over a couple of houses to see the ocean, but it's a good view. And we sat and talked about it, and we all became kind of friends. I mean, they were very interesting people. And so I said, well, you really should look at the library cottage, because it is near the ocean, and you could run out the door and pretend like you're on the beach. So they said, okay. And I said, I think you'll like that house better. I mean, you know, it is a library house. It's charming. So on the way out, the director, Tony, whatever his name is, I can't remember, said, have you ever thought of being in the movies, Carol? And I said, who, me? And I said, no. He said, well, we have a part for you that'd be really great. And I said, I don't know how to act. He said, well, you could just be yourself. I said, oh, I bet you tell that to all the girls and kidded like him and left. And I said, but you're welcome to use my house, and if you want the library cottage, you can use this for an office space. And we parted friends, and that was it till about a month later, and I was getting ready for I don't know what. It was in the fall, and the phone rang, and this woman said, I'm so-and-so, remember me? I said, yes, I do remember you. You're the only woman there. And she said, well, you know, Tony wanted you to be in the movie. I said, well, not really. And she said, oh, yes, but Harvey Keitel is his mother-in-law, because he's the star, got to pick his mother-in-law, and she was a New York character actress. And I said, yes, and what's that got to do with me? She said, well, she has the flu and can't get there. And they said, oh, just like in the movies, get Carol Povey. And so she said, they're going to call you, and I'm just warning you, and they've made all the arrangements for you to join, what is that, Actors Guild?
The Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Screen Actors Guild, because you'll have a few lines. And I said, but I really can't act. And she said, oh, yes, you can. And kind of left me hanging there waiting for the next call. And while I was doing that, I happened to have a TV on, and here was a picture of Harvey Keitel and his latest thing. They were interviewing or talking about it. It was called The Piano. And I kept saying, oh, well, I did see Thelma and Louise, but I don't really know too much about Harvey Keitel. And so finally the call came and they said, oh, it's going to be very easy. Just say yes. We've made all the arrangements. And I said, well, how can I say no? It's so much fun. And sure enough, they all came in. They did use the library cottage, and they did use me. In the meantime, while I was waiting for them to get set up, I went up to borrow a movie to see what Harvey Keitel looked like. And the people at the Reynolds place wouldn't let me look at Reservoir Dogs or whatever it was. They said, oh, Mrs. Povey, you can't see that movie. I kept saying, oh, my gosh. Well, anyway, this was to be a movie up on Vancouver Island, and the script was so ridiculous, but, you know, this was all they had, and the weather was terrible, and everything seemed to be going wrong, but somehow the movie got made, and I got to meet Harvey Keitel, and he was absolutely charming. I got to kiss him 3 times because I had to kiss him goodbye, and we had to retake the scene, so I said my claim to fame was kissing Harvey Keitel 3 times. But the funny thing was that my son called me and said, what are you doing, Mom? And I said, oh, I'm doing a movie. And he said, oh, are they going to use the house? And I said, no, they're going to use me. And I told him that I was playing opposite Harvey Keitel. And he said, well, what has he played in? I said, well, they played in something called The Piano. And my son said, oh, was he the husband? I said, I don't know. I haven't seen it. And he said, all I know is he had tattoos on his face. And my son said, oh, my God, Mother. And I didn't get to see The Piano until after we'd finished this movie. And I'm sort of glad I hadn't, because I might have laughed.
Sounds like you had a great experience.
It was fun. It was interesting. I have a T-shirt with my check printed on it, which was $1,700 for 17 hours.
Not bad.
I said, almost as much as an attorney makes. But it was my claim to fame.
We're talking with Carol Povey, longtime resident of the Neocony area, north Tillamook County. And Carol, we want to get to politics, because one thing I always enjoy is on the listserv of a local mailing list called BBQ, I occasionally see your postings there, which I very much enjoy reading. It makes me wonder. There seems to be, and I don't know where you draw the line on the map in Tillamook County, but it's like the north part of Tillamook County is this little island bubble.
Different.
You've been here long enough that you can explain why that is?
Oh, I can't. It's just that I think all these, I can't call us weird, different people gather, and they're interesting people, and they have creative minds, and they have a different way of thinking. I'm not sure what causes it. I just find the whole coast terribly creative, not just Neocony, but for art and music and acting. Not me, but, you know, Peter Newman's wife. There's a lot of talent, and I think people politically take different views than those who have been here a long, long time.
Is it in part the people who have, as you did, dropped out of Portland or Seattle, the urban areas? Do they bring a different mindset to the community? Or is it just that we're just all a bunch of fairly independent people around here?
I think they're fairly independent. I really do. And, you know, I lived in a community in Portland where I drove through not too long ago and had a lot of signs that I didn't agree with. And I kept saying, even then, there was a handful of people in that community who were independent thinking and who took a different perspective about politics and a lot of other things.
I have a neighbor who lives primarily in Portland, and he and his wife are longtime Republicans. Picture of George W. Bush on their kitchen counter. And I must say, whatever disagreements I and others might have, being a Bush Republican in Portland is a pretty brave, independent thing to be.
Oh, I do. I think so, too. It's interesting because, you know, I've lived long enough. I've seen a lot of political water going under the bridge, and I regret that we are not in the same time frame when we had actually you could vote for the person and not the party. And I voted both sides of the street. I've been a Republican, I've been a Democrat, and I'm thinking about being an independent. And I want to go back to where I can vote for whomever. I think what we're doing today is terribly scary. And I maybe it's been bad before. Maybe I was busy doing something else and didn't pay attention. But I just think we're on a disaster course if we don't get back to finding not politicians, but statesmen or stateswomen.
I find that we're doing a lot of talking past each other, not to each other.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I have this terrible feeling that when you tear people down just so you can be taller, you're not gaining anything. You're just flattening everybody out the same size.
Well, I don't want you to tear down anything, but I feel compelled to ask. This is a beautiful community. The entire coast of Oregon is a marvel and a treasure. But surely in this period of time, you've seen changes that you would rather not have seen.
Oh, yeah. I had an interesting experience when my husband and I were married in Hawaii. And we came back from Hawaii, and he was supposed to spend a year at Boeing and then go back to Hawaii. And at the end of that year, we had a new baby, and we didn't want to go back. And his job was teaching people how to take care of their metal planes. Because that's what he had done at Boeing, and he was to go back to Pearl Harbor. And one of our first assignments was in Pendleton, Oregon, where you could only be a Republican because there was no one else running for anything. And it was a whole different setup of people because they were ranchers, and they were, you didn't mind, you voted for the person. And then briefly we were transferred to Tongue Point, which took in Astoria. And Astoria in the early 40s was very bleak. And the only people we knew were dairy farmers, one of whom had been my husband's roommate at Oregon State. So we spent a lot of time, looking at the boats coming in and out. But in fact, we were there when the war broke out, and it was very scary. And I compare the Astoria today to that Astoria, where he had blackouts, and they truly thought we were going to be invaded. And I kept saying it was so strange going from Hawaii to Pendleton to Astoria, and with stops in between Portland. So I had to adjust my thinking a lot about people that you lived with. And each place had a different pattern. And where I could wear jeans in Pendleton, I couldn't wear them in Astoria. And it was interesting. We're much more casual now, but I still think there are these little fences. I don't know if you've ever been up in a plane and looked down and see all the fences around in people's yards, and you think how silly that is. And I think we kind of do that a lot in our own daily lives, build fences. For whatever reason, I don't know. But, you know, as you get older, and I certainly have done that, you get different perspectives.
Is there something about the people, or people have moved into our area, are they different, or is it just another cycle of people fleeing the city?
I think it's their stage in life. I mean, I still say this, and I believe it, although I have to remind myself, is this is not a retirement village. This is a beach resort, and always has been. And you find that wall of people who live here full time and those who are summer people, as I used to be, or tourists, as some people are. But, you know, an area can't survive unless they do have that. And so at one time, this is, you know, a terrible thing to say right now, decided the only thing we could do to save our finances in the state was to have a summer sales tax that would make people who believed in sales tax would go on with daylight saving time and off with it. So we'd get all the tourists and all the summer people, and people would be happy about spending a little more money in the summertime, and they'd know they would get relief in the wintertime.
Do you think that there's a snowball's chance that the state will have a sales tax?
Think about it this way. You know, those who think we need a sales tax would be happy, and those who are opposed to it would be happy in the wintertime. So you'd kind of have half and half, everybody a little bit happy. I don't know. Maybe it's not feasible.
Well, I personally think I might be behind you on that one. But that may be that's two of us at the table.
But who am I?
But then I'm from Washington State, so I'm used to a sales tax. Where the flip up there is, there's no way they'll vote in an income tax.
Those are the things I think about when I wake up at 3 a.m. and look at the ceiling and say, "Oh," but you know, you have to keep your brain working.
So what's some of the other undone business of this community?
I really, really love that kids program in the high school for what you're doing part of it.
Oh, yeah, the speech team at Neocone High School.
I think that you can't do too much for kids. Let's see, I've done a lot of grant applications, and I keep saying, well, okay, if it's for seniors, kids, and maybe dogs and cats, you can get money. But there are a lot of needs in small communities, and it's possible to do it for people and for the kids. And I find that this is probably the most generous county I've ever been in for raising scholarship money for people. Almost everybody gives something.
What Tillamook High School does every year is amazing.
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely great. Although I do remember the Future Farmers in Pendleton area that my husband used to come home from his work and say, you know, I have a Future Farmer student who makes more money on his project than I do. But, you know, they were growing wheat.
Carol Povey, it has been such a pleasure. I think I want to do this again sometime.
Will you have me back? You know, I've lived so long. I've had a really exciting life. Next time I'll tell you about learning to fly an airplane.
I do want to hear that. This is Neocone View. I'm Peter Newman, our guest this morning, longtime resident of the Neocone area. Carol Povey, thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next month.
It's been fun, Peter. See you next time.